So if you heard that first little tease of the segment, you understand the field of play. Another election year investigation into Matt Manweller. Now it appears that the investigator, who I'm going to assume is a leftist, since she likes to retweet apparently the Bhagwan shrill savant, Trish K. Murphy, a downtown Seattle lawyer, looks like she's hiding things from the taxpayer. Matt Manweller's on the phone with us. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's 2 days in a row or something.
Yeah.
Good to be back, Todd.
Yeah, I heard John with Jason this morning. Look, we're rallying the troops on this. I tell you, you know, I heard Jason's interview with you, and I did not know that a lot of these charges, this is like these assertions, this like two, three times they've looked into these, Matt?
Yeah, some of them, right. I mean, once in 2006, it was found without merit. Then when I decided to run for political office, they came back and said, well, even though it was 6 years ago, we're going to investigate it a second time,
yeah,
and we're going to hire a professional this time. And it was again found unsubstantiated. And then 6 years later, they're like, well, you know what? Nothing new has happened, but we're going to investigate it a third time anyway. So, yeah, I've been investigated three times for the same event with the same witnesses and the same fact pattern. You know, it's like a Dino Rossi recount.
Yeah.
You just keep investigating until you get the answer you want, right?
Exactly. And I'm sure that the Central Washington University, they're picking up all the law tab for you, right? They're paying your bills on this?
Well, they had to last time.
Oh!
You know, we sued the guys, and they lost, and they wrote me a big fat check.
I
suspect they might be writing me a big fat check again.
So I'm reading this declaration, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not a lawyer. You teach political science, but you know a lot more about the law than I do. I have trouble understanding how a lawyer could A, ethically, and B, legally, hide evidence gathered with taxpayer dollars from the taxpayer, mm-hmm. and how a lawyer could ethically present purposely, it seems, skewed information against you, since she has, as I understand it, hidden the words of people who, women who said, no, I've had no problem with Matt.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, thanks to you and the show, this woman was listening and read the story and came forward and said, hey, Professor Manweller, I want to tell you a story. I was actually called by that interviewer, that investigator, and it was a sham. She continually lied about you. She tried to put words in my mouth. I had to correct her multiple times. She kept leading off with sentences, you know, when he was inappropriate with you, and I had to stop him and say, no, he was never inappropriate with me. And then she would come back to it again and say, well, so when you told me he was inappropriate with you, and blah, 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 and she'd go, no, I didn't say that. That's what you said. I mean, and then, of course, you know, the investigator would get angry with the woman and say, you know, when she didn't agree with it. And so thank goodness that she was listening to your show, decided to come forward, takes a lot of courage to do that, and then walk down to the courthouse and sign out a sworn affidavit, you know, under oath. And I'm happy she did. I think it helped set the record straight. But we have got a smoking gun that this investigator was lying, putting words in people's mouths, manipulating their answer, and that is the basis of this report against me.
Yeah, and, well, A, that's fantastic that she listened to the show, and I'm really glad that we could help on that front. But, B, they didn't, I guess they didn't go ask male students if you were someone, a professor who liked to stop and chat, grab a beer from time to time. They didn't talk about that at all with male students. Is that correct?
No, they did two things. One, they interviewed no male students, and what they did is they interviewed hundreds of students, and anybody who said anything positive, they just left it out of the report. Anybody who denied things, they just left it out of the report. So you go out and you call 300-400 people. 99% of them have nothing but positive things to say. You cherry-pick the 10 or 11 who didn't, and then you put those in the report, and you manufacture this image that everybody is saying terrible things about you. And, you know, I got to tell you, Todd, you teach for 16 years, and you have 2,000 or more students. You can find 10 or 15 kids that have a, you know, a grudge or a gripe, and that's kind of what they did.
Yeah, and so now let's I want to look at this from another angle, and it is this. I want the listeners to understand this. If you haven't seen this video yet, I'm going to ask Matt about. I want you to tweet me. Tweet 800 465-8770, and text the word Matt, okay? Text Matt, M-A-T-T, to 800-465-8770, because you need a visual aid. In this video, Matt, you were in a legislative hearing, and you're at a U-shaped table. You're sitting sort of at the back of the U. Some women came in and began handing out papers. And, Matt, I'm not kidding. I think that you turned your chair maybe 7 degrees towards the ladies who were handing it out, sort of acknowledged their presence, and then turned your attention straight back to the testimony that was ongoing. You had to answer this woman, Trisha's, questions about that. What possible questions did she generate about you acknowledging the presence of a woman for about a split second?
You know, most of it were just statements that, you know, have I watched the video? You know, this is corroboration that you have a pattern of, you know, body scanning women. You have a pattern of inappropriate workplace conduct. And she just more presented it as evidence that, you know, I'm a person who ogles people. And, since you put it out on the air, I mean, people are just reacting like, this is laughable. This is disgusting. This is like, you know, if that's workplace harassment, then everybody on the planet is guilty of workplace harassment. It's now literally looking at somebody who hands you a binder, for a half a second. I mean, it's beyond, we've jumped the shark.
Yeah, and so this attorney, Trish K. Murphy, at NorthwestWorkplaceLaw.com, I've asked her on Twitter to come on. Now, Young Tom, my producer's reached out. If we can't get her on, I think the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put her phone number into my magic text machine and ask my listeners to very politely call and remind her that she spent taxpayer money or that she received taxpayer money on this, to come and explain it to us. Was she a shy person or sort of afraid of confrontation when you spoke with her?
No, I mean, I she seemed perfectly polite. I think that, you know, she was trying to, you know, get me out of my shell. But, you know, I don't think she's going to come on, because one of the things that I want to tell you, Todd, is that the declaration that we just got from that ex-student that said she completely lied and manipulated her, it's not the only one. They're starting to come out of the woodwork in droves. We've already got another student who is going to sign out a sworn declaration that said the exact same thing happened to her. And we think the floodgates are going to open. Once one or two women come forward and say, I wasn't interviewed, I was shanghaied, you know, I wasn't asked questions, I was told things that were untrue, and then those were put in my name. I think we're going to have 5, 6, 7 of these type of declarations, and we will be able to show a pattern of misconduct by Ms. Murphy.
Right, and that's what I wanted to go after, is because she, in the Bar Association, it used to be, and, you know, I'm mad, I'm an old man, I'm nearly 51 years old, so I come from the age of ancient ignorance, but back in the day, we used to demand that attorneys are honest, particularly when someone's reputation is at risk, and particularly when they have obtained exculpatory evidence, and particularly when they're using taxpayer dollars. And I'm not a smart man, but I read something once about whistleblower actions that can be taken when you become aware of a fraud using government monies. Did I say anything insane?
I think that at minimum somebody could file a bar complaint. I mean, she presents herself as a expert in workplace harassment investigations. Yeah. She presents herself as somebody who will conduct, quote, fair and impartial hearings. But when you pick below the surface and you start talking to the people she's interviewed, it's clear that she comes in with an agenda. She manipulates the people she's interviewing. She lies to them. She tries to put words in their mouth. And we've got at minimum 2 smoking guns right now as Exhibit A and Exhibit B.
Well, it's very, very disappointing to see this. I want to ask one more question. We've got a little long here, but
sure.
Matt, has this cost you leadership positions in Olympia?
This has cost me everything, Todd.
Yeah.
I have lost my leadership position. I was stripped of my ranking membership. I've been put on suspension from my job and my livelihood. I'm spending $20,000-$30,000 in legal fees. I mean, this woman's unethical behavior has, you know, borderline bankrupted me and cost me my both academic and political careers.
So I guess there's a couple things I want to follow up on. I want to get the name of the people, the person at Central Washington who instigated this latest round of investigation and go through it with them. And then maybe I need to reach out to some, you know, J.T. Wilcox, others, and see what we need to do to have them look at this evidence and understand that this woman hid exculpatory evidence.
Yeah, you know, and I would say nothing but positive things about, J.T. Wilcox and
I like
his
JT
leadership.
A lot.
Yeah, and he has been more than fair, and he's been more than honorable. I think that maybe people kind of rushed to judgment back in December. There was a little bit of, panicking and a little bit of CYA when Seattle Times reports were coming out about my 20-year-old marriage or something, but... JT's been solid, and I think that, I'll get a fair hearing with my own leadership team. But the problem is that the Seattle Times is going to get a hold of this 88-page report written by Trish Murphy, who we know lied, who we know manipulated people, and it's going to be in print, and they're going to take it, and they're going to put it out on the web. And that's going to be very difficult to combat.
Okay. Well, look, we're going to combat it. We already found one witness who stepped up. You
two.
Say there's
two.
Well, I was saying we found through the show. I didn't know other person came through the show. It's two people have come up to say that this woman tried to manipulate them. I'm going to put the pressure on her to come on. Then I want the name of the Central Washington person. We'll get them on. And since they're a taxpayer-funded entity, I'll put real pressure on them. Matt, I thank you for joining us. Sorry you're going through this, and keep us informed.
Hey, the truth will always prevail, Todd. It may take a little bit of time, but it always prevails.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Continue the battle. All right, Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Everybody who's asking me if I'm going to give out the phone number for this Trish K. Murphy, who is apparently hiding information that taxpayer money bought to show that Matt Manweller has plenty of female supporters saying they've never felt uncomfortable around him at all. I'm not taking that step yet. We're going to give her a chance to respond. If she doesn't, we'll take that step, and I will put it into the text device, and we'll put her name in there. And then I'll text you her phone number, and you guys are going to call very politely, and you're going to ask her to come on the program and explain. Reminder, she took taxpayer money. We're also going to go at Central Washington University. Now, why am I doing this prior to having seen the report? Well, it's because this is the third time a lot of this has been investigated, and frankly, because of that ridiculous, insipid, silly, stupid, insulting video. And now this. Now, a listener to this program was interviewed by this Trish K. Murphy, apparently, and she signed an affidavit saying that that this lady tried to lead her into saying terrible things against Manweller. There is another victory that you are not being told about. I was so thrilled to read this morning. The murderer, apparently the murderer of Brian Terry. Now, he did not act alone. There were six defendants in this case. Brian Terry was murdered with a gun that Eric Holder and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton allowed to go from the United States into Mexico with no tracking. You remember Fast and Furious? You remember that decision where gun store owners, federally licensed firearm dealers, were calling the ATF and saying, "Are you kidding me? I know these guys are narco-terrorists. You're telling me to sell them weapons?" And there were gun store owners who said, "No, I'm not doing it." And the ATF said, "Oh, yeah, you are. Want to keep your federal license? You're doing it." So Brian Terry, if you don't remember the details of this case, you remember where Brian Terry was killed? Remember where he was in Mexico? Oh, no, that's right. He wasn't in Mexico. He was in the United States of America. He was in Nogales, Arizona. It is on the border. But he was in our country when he was apparently murdered by this suspect, Heraclio Osorio Arellanes. I'm saying the last name poorly. He's now been extradited to to the United States. He's going to face charges. And this comes at a time when we're told that we need to abolish ICE. Oh, is ICE involved in this? Yes, because an ICE agent, Jaime Zapata, was murdered with guns from the Fast and Furious operation. The ills of the Obama era, they just never leave us. It really is like Obama gave the country some weird case of political herpes. But at least in this case, we're finally getting the last guy, or the second to last guy. I understand there's another guy they haven't caught yet, extradited here. This is a great victory. The Terry family says, yep, it's bringing them comfort, but they want more answers.
For nearly 8 years, friends and family members of Brian Terry say they've been waiting. Now they feel like they're almost there.
It does bring comfort to know that these guys are being captured and, you know, they're facing justice. But it doesn't bring complete closure to the situation.
Despite promises, they say they are still waiting on the federal government to release documents related to the Fast and Furious operation, which allowed the gun that killed Terry to be smuggled into Mexico.
And about that, can I put on my dangerous to talk radio careers hat for a second? What I'm about to say is dangerous to a talk radio career. Are we to believe that by not tracking the guns, Eric Holder meant to catch narco-terrorists? Or wouldn't you track the guns if the targets were the terrorists? Wasn't it fashionable at the time to contend that American-made guns were killing people south of the border? Do you put it past an administration who used the IRS to intimidate and strike fear into and investigate conservatives for trying to involve themselves in the election process? Do you put it past them saying, well, what if just some guns ended up in the hands of Mexican narco-terrorists and they murdered Americans with it? I have no proof for that, but I can find no way to believe that Eric Holder is stupid enough to not track the guns he was giving the narco-terrorists. I can believe that the narco-terrorists weren't the targets, that maybe the guns were the targets. Brian Terry's mom.
What are your thoughts on why you have so few answers?
I hope that it's not a cover-up. I pray that the weapon that killed my son didn't come from the United States and was allowed to travel to Mexico.
Yeah, from the text line, 800-465-8770, shouldn't Eric Holder have that gun locked up on a safe? Well, he will now. Jelly Dirk is taking care of that. We'll come back on the Todd Armstrong Show on AM 770 KTTH and on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. The little socialist who's running in her area, 30 years old, paid for by out-of-town money. She's challenging Adam Smith, who is a good old corporate leftist Democrat. She's all on board with Medicare, Medicaid for all. I thought we would reach back into the archives and come back with a progressive myth we're going to crush. That myth is that there's any money anywhere available in the United States of America to pay for anything approaching what they like to call single payer. So we will crush that myth when we come back on the Todd Herman Show. Man, what a day of breaking news. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. So there is a young woman running first time to be in the House of Representatives. I don't care to say her name because she is irrelevant. She may win because she's a socialist and she's young, but being a leftist, she should stand aside because she's also white. And you know, we can't have more white people in office. But she reminded me of someone as I was reading this article about her. She's trying to take on Adam Smith. And she is a woman, I guarantee, if you had a numbers-based conversation with this woman, you would come away with the same thing that hit me in my mind. As I was reading the Seattle Times piece about this lady running to be the new leftist hope. She wants to take down Adam Smith, a good corporate Democrat leftist who is not paid for by out-of-town money. His lobbyists are in-town lobbyists. The young socialist, she's getting all her money from out-of-state, and the Seattle Times today lined her up with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, showing them in a picture together because Cortez is the great national hope of the Democratic Party. She reminded me of a young woman that you'll remember from Neil Cavuto's show talking about, yeah, sure, we can afford all sorts of free college and free healthcare. Free. Free.
They're persuasive.
500 million Americans lose for their jobs.
Pernicious.
The debate is settled.
Preposterous.
The whole island will become so populated that it will tip over and capsize.
I know they speak French there, don't they?
Actually, I'm her husband.
That's why they're so fun to puncture every day.
But this, obviously, with 93 million people a day, it's just something.
Just check 93 million. That's a big number. Did you mean to say 93 million? That's a big number. Are you sure?
93 million, 93 individuals a day.
93 individuals.
A day.
On Progressive Myths Crush.
The most precious piece of that clip is where McAuliffe says, a day. A day. It's 93 a day. That's precious because he knows he's just made himself a complete fool, which he is, in addition to being a complete con. So $32 trillion is what we're told Medicaid for All is. And Medicaid for All means screw you, we'll choose your doctor. That's exactly what it means. Screw you, no alternative. Screw you, you don't get to choose your insurance company. Forget you, we're going to make all the decisions for you. Single payer is always something someone is doing to you. Because if they want single payer, go get it. Well, get on Medicare or Medicaid. You got your single payer. You got your misery. So this young socialist in Seattle, whose name I'm not going to promote because I'm not going to make the mistake that people made with the Bhagwan Shrill Sawant and build name ID for her. Not doing it. Reminded me of a young woman named Keely Mullen, who made a terrible tactical decision to go on with Neil Cavuto trying to defend taxpayer-supported college for everybody.
I live in a world and I see a system around me where there's a population that's doing nothing to contribute to the progression of society. Education is really the only way that we have innovation, that we
Keely,
have...
I'm sure you sound very smart. You know what's going on. You mentioned what's going on in the world. You're probably aware of what's happening in Greece and these other countries that provided all these benefits and then some, many of which you outlined very nicely here for us today. And they're going broke, and they're out of money, and they don't know what to do. And their people are riding on the streets because they can't believe the money's gone, and the benefits and the promises are gone.
Right.
What do you think?
I mean, yeah, there's a global catastrophe right now of complete defunding of social services
because
and defunding
they ran out of money.
Of public,
you know what happened, Keely? They just ran out of money.
Yeah. Right? I understand, but there is a 1% in Greece. There's a 1% in the United States. There's a 1%. There's a ruling class in absolutely every...
I don't doubt there is, Keely. I don't doubt there is, but obviously they've been trying to tap them and get money from, and they realize either they don't have the money or they hid from the money. They're gone. They're gone.
Yeah.
And now these countries are going bust.
Yeah, so then those people need to be accountable.
All right, fine, but they're smart, and they're scaring all over the globe. So now even if you...
Yeah, they are, and that's a problem.
All right, but they've done studies on this, Keely. I don't want to get boring here. But even if you were to take the 1% and take all of their money, tax it 100%, do you know that couldn't keep Medicare, just Medicare in this country, going for 3 years? Did you know that?
If we're to a point where the rich is paying 100% on their taxes, then we're on the road to socialism, and we're going to have a completely different type of public infrastructure.
No, what I told you is that... Even if you took all the money from the rich who you say are getting away with murder, and you took it all away, it wouldn't support one entitlement in this country for 3 years.
I don't believe that.
This is who this woman running as another socialist in Washington State against Adam Smith reminded me of. So I looked at some of the numbers on my own, and I'm going to crush this myth. This comes from a great website I use called Federal Budget in Numbers. The drivers of our spending increases in the United States of America are as follows. 5% for mandatory programs, 11% discretionary. Those are the small numbers. 21% is the interest in our debt. You ready for the big numbers now? 25% to Social Security, 38% to major health care programs. Those are the drivers of spending increases. Spending as a percentage of the budget in 2017. Medicaid, Medicare, all other health care, 28%. Social Security, 24%. Income security, 17%. 28, 24, and 17 are wealth transfer programs. And I'm not criticizing people on Social Security. You didn't set up the system, but it is completely out of whack because retirees get more than they paid in. Consistently across the board, they get more than they paid in. That includes me when I retire. If Social Security is still there, I am scheduled to get more than I paid in. And I know it's paying interest, but that's not where it's coming from. It's coming from robbing currently working people to pay for retired people. And again, if you're on Social Security, you didn't set that system up. Politicians have done this to bribe us with our own money or to bribe one generation with the next generation's money. Speaking of generations, if you were to treat your family like the federal government treats the budget, the median family income in the United States, 55 grand, okay? If a family spent money, like the feds spend our money, if you had 55 grand per year, you would spend 65 grand per year. That would mean that you would put $10,000 every year on your credit card without paying it off. That would be despite already being in debt $328,000. So imagine that circumstance. Imagine that you're in debt $328,000 and every month for the rest of your life you borrow $10,000 and you do not pay it back. That's what it would be like if you were to treat your personal budget like the federal government treats the national budget. The myth that we can afford this government-funded healthcare all in is crushed. Favorite portion of the show. We do this every single day at about this time. It's the last segment of the 4 o'clock hour. We get to your longer form communications with me and with your fellow listeners. It's your emails and your social media posts, longer versions. The text messages, you'll hear those throughout the show. 800-465-8770. The tweets also throughout the show. That's at Todd E. Herman. We'll start things off today with an email Hall of Fame member, Jay Payne, writing from 1789 on the topic of freedom or free stuff. Hey, Todd. It seems to be a burgeoning debate now on the merits of socialism. Conservatives really must embrace exposing this undead ideology. According to the leaders and lemmings of the neo-socialist, progressive socialist, Prague sock, apparatchik, electorally promised to deliver the unwashed victim classes from want by implementing a vast regime of entitled rights. Jay Payne, just an aside, that last sentence should be set to fighting music. That was beautiful. So they've been implementing a vast regime of entitled rights, and he elucidates. Number one, free education. Number two, free medical services. Number three, free transportation. Number four, free food, free housing, free immigration. Number seven, free sex. Sex? Yeah, I guess it is free. Number eight, free dope. Number nine, free abortion of live infants. And number 10, freedom from individual responsibility. We conservatives have a duty to implore the Prague Sox to tell the world exactly how they're going to pay for this progtopia. And most importantly, who exactly is going to be forced to pay for all this coerced freedom? Many Prague socks have good intentions, but the fatal tragedy here is that they fail to comprehend that the more things that are free, this greatly incentivizes most people to lower their productivity, both the productive and their supposed victims. We must unmask and illuminate the actual consequences of socialism. I appreciate the note, Jay Payne. You're exactly right. I think one of the best ways to do this is to tell people to go first dare people to go first. In fact, the conservative movement as it exists today, and it's been changed. Let's be honest with ourselves. We need to go out with a very simple movement of you first. Can you imagine a bunch of TV commercials that we would flood it with YouTube so you just really are trolling people? It'd make its way into TV. Where we get some of the conservative stars like James Woods to address socialism and say, oh, I used to work in Hollywood. Then I came out as a conservative. That's okay. I don't need the money. I've done well with my films. A lot of you guys say you're socialist. So I'm going to say you this. I'm going to say this to you. Go first. Start redistributing now. In fact, we've started the You Go First Society. Here's how you do it. You go to this website, you sign up, we're going to look at your finances, we will redistribute them. Oh, make sure you include your real estate holdings, because if you don't, we will. Oh, and your cars. Yeah, and jewelry. Yeah, the cocaine too. Yeah, we're going to redistribute it all. Dare people to go first. You're a socialist? Be socialist. Offer to do it for your prog sock friends. You're a socialist? Sweet. Let's go get some socialism done. Back to the emails we go with Mike, who calls himself that esports, quote, and he put the quotes there, athlete, Seattle area and trying to find bottom. By the way, Mike, I remember our debate, and the fact is esports don't exist. There's no such thing as an esport, but I appreciate you poking fun at yourself. Todd, I always have to assume a worst case scenario. Just when I think their near deer has been reached in human behavior, the liberals burst up the shovels and go lower. Mobs run amok looking to intimidate, bully, beat up, or kill Republicans. Trump supporters, veterans, or just a regular average Joe who didn't want Hillary. All of the above are no longer considered just persona non grata at lefty-friendly dives like the Red Hand, Starbucks, or really any major U.S. city. Now it's life-threatening under the pretense that we're racist in some way. Theretofore, like the Jews and the Poles, we are now subhuman and not for towing the politically correct party-line dogma. A congressman was nearly killed at baseball practice and they cheered on social media, and we are to blame for being caustic, divisive, and dangerous? Seriously? What's next? I'm not saying this to be a doom-based soothsayer or caress dark fantastical conspiracy theories on what the enemy agenda is and resort to living in an abandoned shack in Idaho waiting for the bombs to finally drop. Hey, just a side note, there's nothing wrong with a shack in Idaho. I'm just saying. But I prefer to remain vigilant and stay disunited from the leftist America, which is and will remain an enemy, seditionist nation residing within our own very borders until their hopefully peaceful surrender. Don't count on that happening. Because patience has its limits, we're dealing with a domestic terrorist group with the guise of political party. Sincerely, Mike, that esports, he says, quote, athlete. Mike, you are sharing a dark vision, my friend. It's a hard one to see our way around. I admit that. It really is. I don't know if the United States can ever come together again. What it will take, in my judgment, is a very brave consortium of media people. Seriously. Can you imagine what would happen if they put aside ideology and went and actually told the story of Washington, D.C.? If you've never lived there, you truly don't know the difference. Well, between D.C. and the real world. If you've never lived in a place that has never experienced, and right now never will experience, a recession or a depression, you've never lived amongst people who truly cannot possibly understand life as it's lived in the real world. When you're 26 and you work at a political party for a number of years and you rise up to a director level position and you do good, you do well, you are now turning around at the age of 27 or 28 and you're earning $900,000 to $1 million a year. Why? You're telling people how to use Twitter, Facebook, websites. Sometimes you build them. Sometimes. I have dear friends and they're really great people. They are. They're not the sort of scary types. They make so much money and they know it. Want to know why they know it? Because I constantly tell them, you are in a bubble, my brother, my sister. If you've not lived in D.C., you can't understand. So it would take a very brave media entity or a bunch of them to go and expose. So expose what? Their average pay versus the real world. Their average pensions versus the real world. The way the money really moves around K Street versus the real world. The schools their kids attend versus the real world. Now, I know this is divisive rhetoric, but the fact of the matter is, I am convinced that it's still us against them. Yes, the leftists want to destroy what we think of as America. Leftists, not Democrats. Leftists. Although many Democrats are becoming abused of that same desire. The us against them is we're divided, and we're divided by a D.C. that is partially aware, I kid you not, and hand to the Lord, they're aware of the division they're causing, and they know it's helpful to them. I hate to say that, but I only said I'd share the truth with you. And it is a truth. It's a hard truth, but it's a real truth. Yep, they're partially aware of the fact that they're dividing and conquering. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH on the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. Believe it or not, we're loaded with yet more Seattle spirit.